Good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome our visitors here, too. I hope you can worship here with us, and it's good to see James back with us. Welcome to his friend here with us, too, so we're glad you're here. And I want to welcome each one of you here in Jesus' name this morning. Years ago in North Carolina, I was at a community friend's house. And he had his tractor there in the garage, or in his carport. And he was needing to do an adjustment on it to make the box blade or whatever it was tilt one way or another. I don't know exactly what that deal was. And somebody had borrowed this tractor the day before, the week before, sometime before this. And he was there turning this thing, and it turned a little bit, and then it hit a hard spot. And I hadn't really noticed anything different about this man before this friend of mine. That day, I knew how he could be. But he was turning this thing, and it was going really hard, and he couldn't get it to turn. And he kept pressing harder and harder, and directly, he flew really upset. And his toolbox on his tractor lid was up in the air like this, and he slammed that thing down, and he kicked his tractor, and he walked off out in the yard and just stood there. Another time, this same man got upset at his four-wheeler. And I don't know what the four-wheeler did. I don't know what the offense was. But he got mad at his four-wheeler, and he burnt all the plastic off of it. Just burnt it off of it. Another time, the same man was visiting with his girlfriend beside his pickup. And I don't know what she did to make him mad. But he started to hit her, and at the last minute, he changed directions, and his hand slammed into his truck and dented his truck. Another man I knew, he's not living anymore, and I actually talked about him. He was a big man. I talked about him one other time. He was a really strong man, and he was a man that could pick up a 350 Chevy engine and move it around. He was just incredibly strong. Well, he also had emotion, like all of us do. He came home from work many different times in his mind, and his children left the dirt bike sitting in the driveway right in his way. And it had happened more than once. Well, one day he came home, and it's there in his way again, and he got upset. And he gets out, and he grabs this dirt bike, and he's going to sling it in the bed of his pickup, and he slung it clear across the bed of his pickup. This motorbike. Another man that I know was going on vacation. I think he was going to the lake. And he was driving on the road. And I don't know what happened while he was driving. I don't know what somebody perceived he did something he shouldn't have. And they used the wrong finger on him. And he flew into a rage. And he almost run into the guy, and he was trying to get him to pull over. And he was going to convince that man that he did not need to do that. I don't know if it was up to date. Statistics I've found, there's 33 murders happen a year because of road rage. 70% of mass shootings come from somebody that's angry or upset. And we know who Hitler was. He had anger. He was upset with the Jews. He blamed them for a lot of stuff, but he blamed them for the economy, the depression, and the financial collapse of Germany. He blamed them for that. And we know how Hitler did. Studies show that most violent crimes are committed by individuals who struggle with anger management. So what do you think of when you think of anger? Do you keep it in your mind that it's only these people that lose control? Is that what anger is to you? Is that what you view as anger? Is anger always a wrong emotion? Is it always something that God is displeased with? And if so, why did God make us with this emotion? And so we're talking about an emotion this morning that we all have. And it's the emotion of anger. We don't like to think of anger. But it's an emotion we all have. And it's an emotion we've all experienced. Around when we live around people in our homes, it's really probably the most easy place for our emotions to be experienced in our homes, at our families, at our children. And sometimes we will reprimand our children and they'll say something about, well, you're just mad at us or whatever. And I'm like, you ain't never seen me mad. But really, that frustration, it comes through in our voice. The anger comes through in our voice. And so where is the balance? When does it turn wrong? When is it okay? And if you're like me, you have to tell your family that you're sorry how you spoke to them at times because of the emotion that showed in your voice. Last evening, I was there in the house trying to study, and the children were supposed to be getting stuff in from outside, and they started playing. Well, the next thing I know, the front door is locked, and the next thing I know, I hear some yelling and screaming going on, and one of my offspring is wanting in the front door real bad. And they are beating on this door. It's moving like they're fixing to break this thing in, it looks to me like. Because another one of my offspring has a barbecue bottle threatening to squirt it on them. Now, what emotion do you think I was feeling partway through this? This emotion we have is, like I said, I think God gave it to us for a reason. And yes, we do need to tell our children how it is. Our children don't need to wonder what we mean. And I asked one of my children just recently, I said, what would you describe as mad? What is your description of that? Well, really upset. I said, so how would you describe upset? Well, just unimpressed, really unimpressed. So sometimes as parents, or just maybe relating to other people, when we've told our children or told whoever how many times and they forget and they don't do what you want them to again, we're unimpressed. And I think it's right that they understand when we're unimpressed. I think they need to understand it. And yet, too many times I think we sound different to our children and to people, to our families, to our wives, to our husbands, whatever. We sound different than what we really realize we're sounding to them. And the anger is actually showing through. The emotion is showing through. Maybe we're not picking stuff up and throwing it and, you know, but the anger still shows through. As parents, it's easy to justify our emotion that shows through. The definition of anger. Anger is a normal, intense emotion caused by frustration, unfair treatment, or stress. It ranges from minor irritation to It ranges from minor irritation to uncontrollable or aggressive. It ranges from minor irritation to rage, sometimes resulting in harmful behavior. When chronic, uncontrollable, or aggressive, it causes severe damage to relationships and well-being. And there's different types of anger. One type is an assertive, constructive, and that is expressed calmly to set boundaries or solve problems without causing harm. And so we're going to have this emotion that can be used in the right way. There's some frustration at my house with our addition getting built right now. And you can play it over in your mind and play it over in your mind. But when I call the contractor, what do I say? Do I start right in from the very first on what I think he needs to hear? And let him know in no uncertain terms what I don't like about something. There's a right way to express frustration. Aggressive anger is another type, aimed at hurting someone or something, including physical violence, verbal abuse, or vindictiveness. And that simply means the strong, vengeful desire to retaliate or cause harm to someone, often marked by holding grudges. Another type of anger is passive-aggressive, unconscious anger, expressed indirectly through sarcasm, sabotage, or silent treatment. And sometimes, if you're feeling angry, you need to be silent. Let it calm down. But that's not what it's talking about with the silent treatment. Another type is chronic, volatile anger. It's a constant low-level irritability or frequent and explosive outbursts. Did any of these that I just read feel a little bit familiar to you? They did to me. Some hit pretty close home. And yet we want to hold anger as something that's it's real bad before it's called anger. I quit drinking coffee for 3 weeks, and I was accused of being irritable. And I thought they was the ones being irritable. So I'm not sure who it was. This emotion of anger is something we find, and it's talked about in the Bible a lot. Many times. In Genesis 4, it talks about Cain. He became angry. He was angry at God for not blessing him, but then he actually was talking with Abel, and I don't know what they was talking about, but it obviously went south, and he killed Abel. We know how that happened. Esther 3, Haman, he hated Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow down to him. And I didn't realize it, but back then in the position that Haman was in, he was considered almost like a god, and so people bowed down to him because of that. And Mordecai was a Jew, and he believed that God was the only one to bow to, and he was not about to bow to Haman because Haman wasn't a god that he was going to bow to. And this infuriated Haman. We know what happened. Haman plotted not to just kill Mordecai, but every Jew in their section there. He was going to get rid of them. In Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in that story, I think there was two shows of emotion that we're looking at this morning. The king, I can't say his name, Ahasuerus or whatever. He became angry, and he calls him up there, and he says, you know, you're supposed to be bound down to this image. And now when we do it again, you know, he was giving them the second chance. And I think that these three men showed their emotion when they replied to the king. And then showed it in the right way. And in no uncertain terms, they told the king that they was not going to bow down to his God. And it didn't matter if their God decided to save them or not. They wasn't going to do it. They was trusting in their God that they knew could deliver them if they wanted to. And we know what happened. The king lost it. And he made the fire way hotter and so hot that he wasn't even thinking. And he ordered his most mighty men in his army to throw these men in the fire, and it killed those men. And we know the story, how he just went. He got unhinged, like we would say. You can think of Saul trying to kill David. He was jealous when people were praising David for what he had done on the battlefield. And we know Saul tried to kill David. Jonah was angry with God when he spared Nineveh. You can think of Moses. He killed the Egyptian first, and then later he got upset at the children of Israel, complaining. I'm not sure what all they was doing, but they angered him, and he smote the rock with his rod instead of talking to it like God told him. And because of that, he was not able to go in the promised land. Psalms 37, verses 8 and 9 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evil doers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Ephesians 4:26. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And in that verse I see we will feel this emotion. It is something we all will feel at times. That says, sin not. When be ye angry, but sin not. James 1, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And then the next verse, James 1, 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so forgiveness is a big key to helping us in this anger and this emotion that we feel sometimes. Somebody does something we don't like and we feel the emotion rise up in us. We have to forgive them. If we hang on to it, we turn bitter and it gets worse and worse. Jesus was a good example of this. When he was on the cross, he asked for them to be forgiven that had done this to him. And Jesus was like us. I'd say he felt the emotion. He wanted to fight back. He wanted to retaliate to this. Proverbs 14:29, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Be not hasty in thy spirit. I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Proverbs 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Psalms 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." God is a merciful God. And you think about it, things, when we feel this emotion and we want to relate to something with this emotion in the wrong way, what about the many times that we disappointed God, that we disobeyed God, and he was merciful to us? He was patient with us. Lots of mercy. God gives us lots of mercy. the verse right after that, 103:8, Psalms 103, verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And so we understand that we deserve the wrath of our Father in heaven. We understand that. And one day, God will pour out his wrath on sinful man. It's very clear in the Bible. But today, he is merciful and he is gracious to us. And you can look in Revelation 14 at the end of the chapter. It talks about the winepress of God's wrath. And it's a horrible picture. And we fear that. And we understand God's wrath and his justice in this. At the end of time, there's mercy and love now. And I wonder, thinking about this, why do we have this emotion? And we have other emotions that God give us that are right in their place and wrong and out of place. But I wonder if he didn't give us this emotion to help us understand God and help us to understand God's emotion, God's wrath, and help us fear that when we need to. We need to serve God out of love for what he's done, but we need to fear God for what he will do in the end when we, if we fail him, if we choose to serve the devil. That's all I have this morning. So as we deal with this emotion that we all have, that we all know of, I'd say, for me, it's something we need to ask God to help us. Help us control this emotion. Help us to use it in a constructive way, in a way that works, a way that God intended for it to, and not in a way that causes harm. Because left unchecked, this emotion will cause much harm, and it has in the world today. I can remember when Joe Weirich's daughter was having, her and her husband, they had this boy, a foster boy or something, and he kept having to go back for visits, and he hated going back. He just dreaded it, and yet they had to by the law, and it was just a terrible, sad situation. And it would just make your emotions want to just really get out of control. And yet God cares about our emotions, and God cares how we relate to our emotions. So God bless you as you deal with this emotion. Why don't we stand for prayer?